Okay. We are in Chavrusa. We are in Shar HaKniya, right? Shar HaKniya, Perek Zion, Vashlishi. So what are we in the middle of discussing now? We're in the middle of discussing the what will you see on a person who's a nichna? That can indicate to you that Taka, he is a nichna. So we began Ashlishi, that when he is publicly, is somebody either publicly praising him or disparaging him, the way he responds. And that is, the paragraph that starts Vehashlishi, a little bit into the line. So we saw that if he's praised, his response is, he's not happy with the praise. If he's praised for some virtue, he doesn't feel comfortable with the praise because he is in that constant keen awareness of Hashem. And his feeling is, it's very, very minimal relative to what I should be doing, to what I really owe Hashem. Right? We ended last time with the mashal of a person who owes his neighbor $1 million. And when he comes to knocks on the door of the neighbor and hands him 50, somebody else, an onlooker, says, "Wow, kol hakavod, you're such an honest guy. You paid him 50 bucks. Kol hakavod." Right? Now, you don't want the lender to hear that because you feel very funny over the fact that all you have to offer is 50. You're trying, you're doing your best, but you don't want him to hear people praising you for the 50 when you know that that's really minimal. So when you're praised for some, when a nichna is praised for some virtue, he feels uncomfortable with the praise, feeling like it's very minimal relative to what I owe Hashem, which is many, that many, many fold that virtue. Tell the person praising him that it's too much. Stop. Don't go on about that. Because relative to my shortcomings, to my faults, it's like you take one spark and you shoot it at the sea and you hope it's gonna, it's nothing.
What about lying?
What's that? You say that you didn't, right?
So what's
the pshat in that is simply, it's not exactly the same concept that he's saying. He's talking about when you're praised for a true virtue, how should you take to it? He's going to get to it soon. I think also what he's going to say soon is not that. There he's saying to actually deny. Here he's not talking yet about, he's not talking about denying a virtue. He's just saying it's not worth much. But what you're talking about is actually denying the virtue. We could say that it's really the same idea. You know what? Maybe it's not. It's probably a different sugya of anova. It's a different sugya of anova. Here we're talking about the anova that comes from the kniyat Hashem. There, it seems to be more an issue of not looking for the recognition of people. I don't need people to know about it. It might be a little bit of a different sugya. My accomplishments are between me and Hashem. I don't need people to know about it. Here he's talking about, even if people do know about it, not to want to dwell on it because you feel like it's inadequate. Probably more in the sugya of Hatznei Aleches and Melekecha, which is a little bit of a different concept. Hatznei Aleches and Melekecha is that things that I'm doing between me and Hashem, let them be between me and Hashem. Things that inevitably people are going to know about, they'll know about. Whatever doesn't need to be, better, it's best kept between me and Hashem. Because really, that might go back to the sugya of Yichud HaMaisa, right? Where we said that Yichud HaMaisa is when you're dedicating your act solely to Hashem, you're not, on the contrary, you're trying to keep it away from the view of other people. You just wanted it to be dedicated to Hashem. That's why it also says in Halacha, right? The person fasts, a private fast day. Shevivim is coming up, right? We're all going to be fasting every day in Shevivim. So it says in the Ramah that if you make sure that other people find out about it, and someone offers you something, I can't, it's Shevivim today, I'm fasting, right? He says, not only do you lose the schar for your tainus, you just get punished for it. Because you're taking something that should be a sublime activity and you're turning it into really just a means of recognition. So I would guess that perhaps that's really shaykh to that sugya, not to our sugya here. Even if what I did is worth something, do I know if it was really done properly? Perhaps it was done with the wrong motives. Even the virtue that you're praising me for, perhaps it was done with the wrong motives. Perhaps it doesn't even make them great. Perhaps Hashem isn't even interested in it. Okay, these are the Rishonim talking. They're harsh. I don't think we need to be thinking along these lines. Not that I don't think. You know, I don't have the right to say. Our great people of our times are moving in the opposite direction, telling us that we have to learn to value anything that we do for Hashem. The Rishonim were very tough on themselves. Said, even after you did something for Hashem, who said that he accepted it bichlal? Who said that maybe your motives were off, maybe Blamaisa? But in our generation today, considering our very limited spiritual capacity, we take an approach of on the contrary. We should realize how much Hashem does value and does cherish any effort that we make. Okay, I'm leaving it at that comment. Now, certainly, if a person is praised falsely, then you have to reject it. Tell the person who's saying it, "Daily achi b'kitzuri, b'mashani chayiv b'laboire." It's bad enough that I'm not doing everything I should be doing toward Hashem. Al tekabetz alai avoin kitzuri v'avoin hashevach b'mashah loyosisi. Don't add insults to injury toward Hashem by yet praising me for what I actually have not done. Okay. Next, and now again, here also is describing something rather sublime. So that's as far as how the true nichna responds if he's praised. And I worded myself very deliberately now. I didn't say that he's telling us how you should respond if you're praised. This is how a person is on the madrega, the ultimate madrega of nichna, responds when he's praised. Let's expose ourselves to these madregas. But does this have to be the next thing that we have to feel ourselves? We have to be on this madrega. Otherwise, these are high madregas. We're exposing ourselves to these madregas. And if we're working hard and we get a little bit of recognition, it feels good. I don't know if that's the first thing we need to be working on. First, let's work on making those efforts and appreciating those efforts. You can ultimately get to the madrega where, yes, I feel so intimately close with Hashem, that the fact that Hashem knows about it is enough for me, and I really am just uncomfortable with people knowing about it, then Ashrei Chelkeinu. I'll know something interesting. Kodesh Halavos, back in the beginning of the Sefer, very strongly asserts that anything in the realm of Ruchnius, if it's done shaloi lishma, not only is it worthless, but it's an avera. Well, no, I should say that a little more specifically. In the realm of this whole subject of chavis alvam, it's the chokhma of understanding what Hashem wants of us, right? The chokhma of understanding avodas Hashem. He says you can only be doing this l'shem shamayim. If you're doing it in order for people to recognize it, then
Imagery of like a Nezim Zahar in the nose of a Chazir.
Right. That's right. That's right. But you know what? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter comes with some chidushim tailored for our dar. Not disagreeing with the previous dorists, but rather spoon feeding, realizing that we are a needy dar spiritually. We need a lot more help. We need a lot more encouragement than we're not able to handle what they handle, the demands that they placed upon themselves in earlier times. And Imam Ish says, Lahefech, he says, in his attempts to get in the concept of Musar and the study of Musar and to get people onto the track of putting thought and effort into enhancing your Avodas Hashem, so he says to his Talmidim, what might be a very startling thing, he says, we have to get into a situation where people can do it Shalai Lishma. We have to create a matziv where it's chashuv to know these things, where it's chashuv to be well-versed in these things and to have a deep havana in these things, so that people can take pride in it. So his mom is like going in the opposite direction of, let's turn it into a matziv where it's shaykh to do these things, shalei lishmo, so that will, what? Yisrael Salanter and his letters in Or Yisrael, so that we'll net more people into the system, because basically his taina is, otherwise people are completely not part of this whole system. You know, Chavis HaVavis and Rabbeinu Yoina, they were talking to people who, of course you understood, you better be in the system of working to get yourself up and forward. And they were banging you over the head. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is saying, first we have to get people, you know, into the game, into the ballpark. In order to do that, yes, let's create a situation where people could get recognition for us. So the truth is that Bichlal, I was once talking to Rabbi Uri Weissman. He's one of the, probably one of the oldest mashgichim today, mashgiach of Nachlas Alevim. I learned in Nachlas Alevim for a year and a half, and I remember talking to him about the Midah Lanova. I was probably 16 or 17 years old at the time, and he told me, he said, forget Anova. That Anova is something to work on at a much later stage in life, when you're already a lot more advanced, when you've already accomplished a lot more. The first thing we need to do is to get ourselves on a very serious track of growth, and we need to utilize any means we can to get ourselves going. And this is where what comes in when the Gemara said, Mitoch Shalei Lishma Balishma. Before, the problem of Shalei Lishma is the problem of not being on the track Bechlal. So we want to get onto the track Lishma. And if part of doing that is having to utilize the means of Shalei Lishma, so for our dar, yeah, it's taka necessity. It's taka necessity. So yeah, I'm repeating that first thing for us, more important for us, and certainly for our kids, but also for us, when we talk chinuch, we have to talk about ourselves too, is to ingrain in ourselves the appreciation of our accomplishments and appreciation of any right choice that we make, to hammer into ourselves to really sense how much Hashem cherishes any small effort that we make, any mitzvah of ours. Because we are a challenge to dar spiritually. We are a challenge to dar spiritually. We do have to realize that, look, we're mamish at the tail end of a long, arduous galus. And it's only a small percentage of people who are still holding on. So many people fell off the track, right? So many people fell off the racetrack along the way. And if we're still here, we have to appreciate the value of that. We are worn down spiritually. We don't have the same spiritual koichas they had in earlier times. And therefore, on the contrary, our efforts are very, very valuable. And the very fact that we are from the select handful of people who are still on that track, making it to the finish line, is something that should be appreciated and cherished. Okay, let's move on to the Chayav Zalvamis. Like I said, while our dar needs to be putting the focus on this, we should still be exposing ourselves to the expectations of the earlier dars, only in order to understand, in order to have a proper perspective of understanding the immensity of what Avodas Hashem really is. And then we understand our place in it. We have a proper perspective on our dar relative to the previous dars. Okay, I hope this was clear, but this is important. It really deserves more elaboration. We are a weak dar spiritually. But it's not something to bang ourselves over the head about. It's not our fault. We didn't create that reality. And on the contrary, it defines our tafkid. if we, the challenge for our dar is to be able to come, even in such a challenged dar, and say, we are still making all those efforts, we're still dedicating ourselves to Ruchnius, that is the special role of Kvod Shamayim that our dar fills. Okay. Then the Chavos HaVavos moves on to address what happens if a person says humiliating things about you. Mizkar Berah Sha'asan, here also he's laying down, pretty demanding here in the way he wants us to respond to such things. Mizkar Berah Sha'asan, when you have a person who's a nichna, if someone says something bad that he did, Yoidal Nafsha Bikitsuroi, so he responds very submissively. He thinks to himself, you know what? This is true. And it's okay if I have to lower my head about this. It's okay if now my head is bowed. I'm humiliated that other people know. What's that in comparison to the fact that Hashem knows? That's much more humiliating. And don't look for means of justifying it, of improving your image with the people around you. On the contrary, say, I'm more humiliated of them than of Hashem. On the adarabba, let me experience a little bit the tangible humiliation in order to really sense what I should be feeling toward Hashem. Right? Like it says about Yehuda, he just came straight out when he was faced with a very uncomfortable situation. He just came straight out and said, Tzadkamimani. Now, how should he relate to the person who's actually saying it? Okay, we'll see. Again, these are very, very sublime madrigas. Let's not be scared off. Let's expose ourselves to it. Take advantage of the fact that we're getting a glimpse into the standards that the Rishonim set for themselves. Okay, we'll stop here. To you.
Thank you.